Welcome to the Inside Songwriting Podcast. This is where songwriters find inspiration every time. Hello and welcome back to the Inside Songwriting Podcast. I'm happy to be with you again. Now, this year is just going so fast. It's a crazy year for me. I don't know about yourselves, but everything that is going on in my life, in my musical life, especially, is just making this year whiz by. And I want to update you on a few things that have been going on with my career. It's been a great year, really. My album came out at the end of May. A-side, B-side, C-side is the name of the album. And it was a while coming. My last record came out back in 2009, and this is my first independent album. So I was really happy to produce my own record for a start. That's the first time I've done that. And I'm really happy and proud with all the songs on this record. I think you get to a point where you just get it, and you feel confidence in the body of work that you turn out. So it's been an amazing little ride since then. There was a lot to do because I'm completely independent now for the first time. I've previously been with major record companies and with independent labels, and this time I'm all on my own. I have a distribution deal with a company called WGO, so they make sure it gets into all the record stores and on iTunes and so on. But that's about the extent of the help I've had in terms of since the record has been released. So I wrote all the songs myself, apart from one on there, which is a co-write I did in Nashville a few years ago with a guy named Eric Pasley. And I'm really happy. There's 12 songs on there, and the results from my efforts have been great. There's a really sort of healthy, independent approach if you do your research and if you know your industry. So I've been applying all of that, and thankfully I'm getting... I'm getting lots of doors are opening and getting lots of nice results. So a lot of the things I've achieved in the past are, some of them are from days gone by. You know, that these kinds of results don't exist anymore, really. There's a lot of traditional sort of publications and radio shows, and really the world is new now when it comes to promoting an album. And I can go into great detail with that stuff in future podcasts for you guys. I'm more than happy to. So I've taken my own approach, and I think my main thought was, okay, I know what's a constant struggle and what's an uphill battle, and I know which areas to approach with very little budget to get some results. So I've applied those strategies, and it's not great having to consider yourself a business person when all you really want to do is write songs and sing them out. But some things work, and I will definitely answer any questions or help where I can for any of you guys if you are interested in doing the same thing for your independent career. And like I say, it's been fantastic. I used a free service to get my songs out to radio, and I ended up getting the second most added track to radio right across Australia with a song of mine called We Can Change That. And I've had some fantastic reviews in magazines, and one in particular was in a major daily newspaper. I got a 4-star review for my album, which is the first time I've had that in a national major daily newspaper. So it's really, you know, it reaches far and wide, and it makes you immensely proud of what you've done. And more recently, I've had feature songs on TV shows. There's a TV show called Neighbours, for those of you in parts of the world that may not have heard of major Australian TV shows. But I know that this one in particular does reach all across Europe and the UK. And I had a feature song for a bridal waltz in a wedding scene, which was really exciting. You know, I got a lot of compliments about that one. And I was even down at the beach the other day in Bondi Beach, and there was a kid who knows me, he was walking past with his surfboard and he gave me a big smile and waved and shouted, "Hey, Cal, I heard you on Neighbours," you know. These are all little rewards for all the work we put in, as not only as songwriters, but as independent artists. And I've been touring a lot. That's another good thing about releasing a new album, is that when you have something new to deliver, a lot more opportunities present themselves in terms of playing live. And I've been all over the country in Australia playing every second weekend. I head out on the road, and I've had some really, really special shows. And I've got to say, a few years back when I was touring around Australia, opening for Patty Griffin, well, I had the most incredible tour, and I experienced an emotional tour where I was making the most of it emotionally, if that makes sense, because I felt at the time that I was maybe experiencing one of the best tours I'll ever do and some of the best shows I'll ever play, where I would walk out on stage opening for Patty, and I already had a ready-made audience that would understand me from the word go. And that was really special, and I played in some incredible venues, and I really made the most of that. And that was 4 or 5 years ago now when I did that tour. And I thought that at the time, I don't know why, but I thought at the time that I might be, you know, for want of a better term, I thought I might be peaking. I thought I might be peaking in terms of my best shows and my favourite shows and so on. However, this year has again presented so many amazing opportunities that some of the shows I've been doing recently have just been really incredible. I've been really blessed. I've had the perfect audience and the great venues, great towns, great road trips, all of the above. It's really special when you get to do what I do, and all the while you're acknowledging that each day counts as another magic day on your trail. So with the other exciting stuff that's going on, besides, I'm heading out of town today. I'm heading down to, well, for those of you who don't know, if you haven't listened to the podcast before, I live in Sydney. I'm currently looking at the ocean. There's a lot of activity out there at the moment, which I'll tell you about later. but I'm making for Victoria. I'm heading to Melbourne for a few shows. And next Wednesday, on October 9th, I'm heading to the Independent Music Awards, where I've been nominated. I'm really excited. I've been nominated for Independent Country Album of the Year. So that's a big awards ceremony down in Melbourne. And for those of you not familiar with my music, most of the people who know me know that I'm a massive country music fan. But I'm not necessarily a country music artist. I definitely have those influences in a lot of my songs. And I think it's much more to do with the fact that I'm a fan of country music. I always find that in country music, there's so many great songs out there. And we can maybe talk another time about what our definition of country music is. So I'm really excited to be going down there next Wednesday and taking on the big guns in the Independent Country Album of the Year Award. We'll see what happens. I will definitely keep you posted on that result. So today's podcast, I wanted to tell you about something else that recently happened. Considering this is the Inside Songwriting podcast, I wanted to tell you about something, another little mini result that I've had recently, which makes me enormously proud. I think I might have around maybe like 26 cuts now on other people's albums, and everyone is really special. I find the pride that comes from actually being notified that the song that I co-wrote with someone or one of my songs is being recorded and put on an album is really amazing. I never take it for granted, and I feel a massive sense of pride in my work and in some ways in my life's work, because the respect that comes from that is a real reward too for what we've learned and what we do, what we are endlessly and relentlessly trying to perfect as our craft. So recently got another little nod in that direction where you may remember one of our guest spots, an interview in one of the posts with Elise Simmons. She's an Australian country singer and she's just released a stunning new album. And she's cut one of our songs that we wrote together. It's a song called The Treehouse Song. The album's called Believe, and I'm really proud, really proud. I love the way it's been produced. I'm really proud of the song. And again, it's a really incredible achievement to get a cut on an album. So I thought that because of some of those recent things that have been happening where my songs have been getting some action on TV and you know, getting songs on other people's albums. I mean, I average about 2 or 3 a year. And some years there's been 5 or 6 cuts on other people's albums. So I thought I might elaborate a little bit on my publishing career, not necessarily my publishing career, on music publishers, really. And I often get asked by writers who are not published, what will attract a publisher to them? What will make a music publisher take an interest in them as a songwriter? So I thought I could help any of you guys who might be interested in the answers to the same question. Really, there's no rules, but there are helpful notes that I've learned over the years. I'm on my second publishing deal, and I'm in my second term of my second publishing deal. So since 2003, which is 10 years now, I've been a published writer, and it really does assist your career as an artist or just as a songwriter. It can really make a lot of things happen that wouldn't otherwise happen, in terms of the prestige, in terms of the credibility, and in terms of the professional representation you have out there in the industry. So I put together a little list of what reasons a music publisher might take an interest in you. And so I'll start with, okay, so there's eight things that I've listed, and I've probably missed out a few. I've probably missed out another 8, maybe another 28. But for now, these are the things that have meant a lot to me in terms of since I've been, well, from before when I was a non-published writer, and then since I've been a published songwriter. Number one, a music publisher will take an interest in you if you're an artist attracting a lot of attention. So, for example, if you have a song on the radio that everyone's talking about, or if your live shows are going really well, or if labels are starting to talk about you. Remember, music publishers and record labels, they're always talking to each other, and they're always taking note of who's buzzing right now. So that sort of thing really helps. If you've had any action at all out there and it's getting momentum, or you might have had a hit, all of those things will really lift the heads of music publishers to start looking at you. And you've got to remember as well that they're not always aware of what's going on. So sometimes highlighting that in your pitch is exactly what they need to hear. And it will at least set you apart from the ones who haven't maybe been lucky enough to have that sort of success. Even if it's a small success, the good publishers will notice and they'll see potential. That's number one. I think that's a pretty obvious one, but it's worth mentioning. Now, number two, a music publisher will take an interest in you if you're an artist attracting much attention and you've just signed a record deal. So there's the other side of it. If you have just signed a record deal, that says a lot of things to the publisher. Firstly, for them, it's a lower risk in terms of them potentially becoming contractually bound to you as a songwriter. The reason it's a lower risk is because there are other people in the picture. There's other bodies who are part of the chain who are going to make things happen for your songs. And so that means You might have a single at radio, which of course generates broadcast income. You might have a tour, a major tour coming up that generates live performance income. Generally, being noticed as an artist signed to a label is favorable to a publisher, because it means that regardless of what they can achieve for you as a music publisher, your songs are going to get some action and in turn some income. It really is all about the buck. You will find the rare music publisher who will genuinely be interested in developing your craft and nurturing your career with a view to longevity. But ultimately, and especially in the current climate these days, the lower the risk, the more likely you are to sign to a music publisher. When I say the lower the risk, it's exactly what I've just described. I mean, there's going to be someone else helping them. They're not going to be right out there on their own championing you with no help. So that's a really good, it's a really good bet to open doors to get a publishing deal. Number three, a music publisher will take interest in you if you're recently out of a contract with another publisher and you have an impressive track record of success or commercial success with your songs. Now, the success can come in many forms, but really, if you think about it, it's pretty obvious that a publisher looks at the credibility, the history, the proven track record of a songwriter if they've just come out of another contract. So, and they would have to obviously look at where that's sitting in terms of today's business and what potential you bring into their organization as a songwriter is. And so they will be looking at a number of things with regards to where they could take your career from this point on. Not only that, they will be looking at potentially a retrospective deal where they get to sign your back catalogue as well, which isn't always easy, but you know, what do they say? Everything's negotiable. So I'll elaborate on what the other possibilities are for a publisher signing you and what that means to them with a view to adding to what you've already done or building on what you've already done and being in a position to help you advance on what you've already achieved as a songwriter. The fourth reason a music publisher will take interest in you is, and remember, this is my opinion, so this, like I say, there's probably lots of details I might miss out, or maybe I'm giving you too much info, I don't know. The fourth reason is that maybe a song or a few of your songs have been used in TV shows or a feature film or an advertising campaign. Now, this can happen to unpublished writers, especially with what we've got going on online. You know, there's a number of organizations offering opportunities for that sort of thing. I think the successes are few, but it is going on. And there's a lot of independent production houses that are licensing songs on a one-by-one basis. So if you do happen to use any of these, I think, you know, Reverb Nation and so on, they're always presenting opportunities, and Taxi, and there's a number of others. If you do happen to use any of these and score any success, or you might have a friend. You might have a friend who's the music supervisor on a TV show or a movie. Now, these things can lead to... These things are almost a sure bet to get yourself a publishing deal, because that's exactly what they're interested in, is exploiting your songs on a bigger scale. And TV and movies remain one of the best ways to get music out there. So that's a really good... You've really got a foot in the door if you've already achieved that, or if there's the likelihood of you achieving that. You know, that's a really good time to strike. And you also have a lot of ammunition to go in there with having that kind of track record. It's the same as an actor going in with a great showreel, you know, the parts they've already played, if they're on anything that's of any note to talk about, major success, then you can walk in and you're much more likely to get the part than the others. So I think that's a really strong one, that. And if there are ways you can do that independently, then you'll find that a lot of opportunities will present themselves to you in terms of looking for a music publisher. And of course, in line with that would be, this is reason number five, if you're a songwriter with a multitude of credits on successful songs, then that's another great door opener. A music publisher is looking for those things. First and foremost, if you're U2, then none of this applies, because it goes without saying that a music publisher wants your catalogue. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about those of you who are maybe looking for a music publishing deal for the first time, or you haven't had one for a while, that kind of thing. What can you do to get yourself in the game, to get yourself a publishing deal? So yeah, if you've got a lot of credits on other people's songs, or if you've written songs that have a lot of success in the past, those are bullet points. Those are to be highlighted on your pitch, and those are the reasons a music publisher will lift their head and take an interest in you. Reason number six, a music publisher will take an interest in you if you're a co-writer on a current or very recent hit. And it could just be one, but if it's a hit, it matters. And you usually see that there's a trend with co-writers, and I've seen this happen where someone's a co-writer on a song, but it might be the first time they've had a cut. But because the song's successful, the labels and the publishers all start looking at that person to write with other people, because they currently know what's going on, they know what's happening, and they've written something that happens to be popular right now. So it's, you know, you'll find that music publishers jump on those names, and before you know it, that person has another credit and another credit, because they've put themselves in that pole position where everyone wants a piece of them. Everyone wants to know, okay, this guy, he just wrote that hit. This girl, she just wrote that hit with this person. Let's get her writing with these people. We'll put them in a three-way with these people. And it really does, it goes in a bit of a cycle like that. And, you know, new people take over that position every time, all the time. You know, if you keep getting a great strike rate, then you'll continue to get the hits, or the opportunities to get the hits. But really, you've got to keep up the good work as well. But that's another good reason. That's another reason why you will get a publisher to notice you. I'm running out of breath trying to get all this out to you. So, number seven. A music publisher will take an interest in you, and this is another sure thing. If you're a willing co-writer, and if you have a track record of having written, co-written lots and lots of songs, it really, I'll tell you the main reason why this one comes to mind. When you're a co-writer, a prolific co-writer, so if I'm a music publisher and I've just signed a new songwriter, and there's all these labels out there that are looking for songs for their albums, for their artist albums, or they're sending their new artist out to write with new people, the music publisher needs a massive pool of songwriters to hook up with whoever it is the labels are trying to push. Or it could just be with, you know, it could be with other songwriters, you know, who are known for writing the hit. or just great songwriters. It doesn't have to be a commercial hit, you know. So if the music publisher's reach is further, in other words, if they have a long list of songwriters they can put on a schedule for these artists or other writers, that's going to help them out. That makes you valuable. That makes you on their circuit, so to speak. I'm lucky enough to be on the circuit for my music publishers. Whenever there's a new signing, they usually come my way. And whenever there's an opportunity that gets presented to my music publishers by a record company, I'm usually on the list of people that my publisher calls first. So it's rare that I say no when it comes from my publisher. I have to say no a lot of the time simply because my schedule, because I'm too crazy busy. But I do write a lot and I do co-write a lot. But I'm lucky enough to be one of those people on that list. And I think that's because, I think that is definitely because of my willingness to co-write. And the reason I'm so willing is because I get really excited about it. Writing with new people and with people I've written with before that I enjoyed writing with is a great thing to do. I get a lot out of it. And as I've mentioned before in these podcasts, I learned something, regardless of how many songs I've written, I learned something new from every co-write. I'm inspired every time, and that includes with first-time writers. There's something about the process and the analysis of the process, either at the time or in hindsight, that gives me a lot of food for thought, and I usually come out of it with, you know, having learned something really vital to my craft. And I assure you that that can come from the innocent minds of songwriters. And sometimes it's more so than the experienced writers that I learn something. So that's a really good quality. If you're a songwriter that is really willing to co-write, and if you haven't co-written before, but you do want to be signed to a music publisher, I would highly recommend getting out there and co-writing. It just adds so much to your palette. You have so many more colours available to you when you're co-writing. I've actually, in my book that's coming out next year, which is called Inside Songwriting, I've written about 20 pages on the subject of co-writing, because I really do think it's an important part. It's a lot of people have never co-written and don't want to and never will, and that's fine. But it is definitely a valuable quality for music publishers to take notice of if that's what you're after. Okay, so number seven. Well, that was number seven. Number eight is a pretty simple one, but it will definitely get music publishers talking about you. And this is actually how I got both of my publishing deals. Now, my first publishing deal was back in 2003 with Shock Records, Shock Publishing. And the way it was great, I was so excited the way I got this publishing deal. I happened to I just signed my first record deal with an independent label here in Australia called Laughing Outlaw Records. And because I had just done that, I started to share around my album with a few of my friends and a few of my peers, and I genuinely it was word of mouth. This is number eight, word of mouth. I got an email from Shock Publishing, which of course for me at the time was so exciting, with them asking to meet with me. Previously, all I'd done was get rejection letter after rejection letter for years from many publishers and record labels. So I was having a great year, clearly. I had just signed a record deal and a publishing deal. And both of those things happened through word of mouth. I got my record deal through, I sent my unmastered album to a music journalist down in Melbourne, and they passed it on to the record label, and the record label called me and said they wanted to talk. And with the publishing, I gave my album to a friend, and she was signed to this publishing company, and the publishing company called me when they heard it, as soon as they heard it, and said they wanted to talk to me immediately. And it's a long time ago now, but I still remember the feeling, and it's really special. And this time around, when I signed with Mushroom Publishing back in 2007, Now, Mushroom is my publisher here, and if you're in America or the UK, that's Chrysalis. That's the affiliate publishing company, so that's who looks after me when I'm there. And there's all kinds of other affiliates around the world as well. So I'm pretty lucky. I've got some good publishers spread around the world who look after my work. And it was the same thing. It was another friend, another songwriter who was signed to Mushroom at the time, Susie Connolly. She was having lunch with her publisher, and while they were having lunch, he called me because I think she was the third person to mention me that week. So he actually called me at the time while he was having lunch with Susie and said, "Everyone's talking about you. I need to speak to you. So when can we get together?" And as you might imagine, it's one of the best feelings. When we do what we do, and we're endlessly approaching people to love us, you know. I could say a lot more on that topic now, because that gets a lot easier as you get further into your career and you don't have a lot of those nervous or humiliating feelings that you sometimes get when you're pitching and trying to self-promote. So word of mouth is, you know, if your peers are relentlessly commenting on what you do and talking you up to others, that can definitely lead to music publishers as well. So, you know, I guess the other thing is, be a person that other people like being around, because if you're a mean person, you might not get such good word of mouth. So I hope those tips help. Maybe some of them are a bit clumsily explained. But if you have any questions, you can always communicate with me. Remember, the podcast is now called Inside Songwriting, but I still have the old email address, carl@songwritingmastery.com, or you can reach me at carlbrody@me.com, me.com. I'm more than happy to answer questions. You can tweet me. It's at songcarl, which is S-N-G Carl, K-A-R-L, S-N-G K-A-R-L, or at Carl Brody. I've got two Twitter accounts. I'm more than happy to interact with you guys, and I'm really grateful. I've watched the subscriptions for this podcast go right up, and it's really exciting. And I know I've had a few gaps, but that's because my career has been keeping me busy, and I'm sure that you don't mind hearing a few updates. I also thought about the fact that if I'm updating you on my career and so on, that's a great way for me to document a time and a place. For example, this award that I'm heading down to Melbourne for these awards, and I will definitely keep you posted. You know, it's a long shot for me because I'm up against four really big names in the Independent Country Music Album Award category, but I just want to go along and enjoy the reward that has been nominated. It's an acknowledgement, and it shows me that there's some respect out there for what I do with my songs and with this album that I produced myself. So I'm really excited. The album's called A-Side, B-Side, C-Side. And like I say, I produced it myself and I wrote nearly all of it myself, apart from that one co-write on there. And feel free if you want to check it out. Obviously, I'd be really happy if you check it out. I don't monetize this podcast at all. I would love to somehow in the future, because as songwriters and musos, we always need that little bit extra to keep us going. And I love doing this podcast. So it's always going to be free. I just maybe somewhere down the line I'll work out some kind of donation system or something. But I'm really grateful that you're here. I'm really grateful that you're listening to this. And I really hope that you enjoy what I'm sharing. And that's all I'm doing. I'm just sharing the things that I learn on my journey. And I'm really happy about the way this podcast has been received so far. And I intend to keep it up. And I intend to be recording more frequently. So right now I got to go, because I've got about an hour before I leave town. I'm heading down to the south coast of New South Wales to play a show tonight, and then I've got three down in Melbourne, and I'm going to see my guitar sponsors next Tuesday morning. I'm going to see if they can fix up one of my guitars. I'm sponsored by Maton guitars. They're handcrafted in Australia and they're beautiful. And Maiden have really looked after me. I think I got my first guitar from them back in 2005. It's a beautiful walnut jumbo. And I think it's got Queensland maple. Yeah, it's a beautiful guitar. It's well worn now. Hundreds of shows every year since 2005, and I love it. But they've given me several guitars, and I'm going to take one of them to get fixed. And I've got a very busted guitar case for my jumbo, which I'm hoping they can help me out with as well. And I'm also actually going to meet with my music publisher, with Mushroom. That's where their head office is, down in Melbourne. So I'm going to have lunch next Tuesday with them as well, and we can talk about all things exciting, like the TV show Neighbours that they've featured the songs on recently, and my 4-star review in the Sydney Morning Herald. Well, you can tell I'm excited, can't you? Okay, I'm going to leave it there. Thanks so much for being here. I really look forward to talking to you soon. And if you do feel like giving me a review on iTunes, that would be amazing. It really helps. I've got one review on there, and by no means complaining about having one review, because it's an absolute beauty. In fact, I'll give that guy a shout out on the next podcast, I think, because I was really proud to read what the review said. If you feel like reviewing the podcast on iTunes, that would be wonderful. And if you have friends that you think who might enjoy this podcast, please tell them. And like I mentioned before, get in touch anytime, and I'm more than happy to interact with you guys. Thanks so much for being here. Thanks for listening to the Inside Songwriting Podcast, and you be careful out there. I'll speak to you soon.